Folks, welcome to another edition of The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Yes, hope everybody's having a great day so far and you had your lunch, your breakfast, and we keep living a healthy lifestyle. Right now we have Dr. Dean, who's all dozed up today. Good afternoon, Doc.
Hi, good afternoon. It's great to be here again. And of course, today is Wednesday, my last day here for the week. So, you know what that means, Baze?
What it means is, let me guess, Women's Wednesday.
Yes, of course, it's Women's Wednesday today. Your favorite day, I know.
I love it.
So today we are going to be discussing something that I think is very important because it is something that I see a lot in the hospital, especially surrounding women and even some young girls as well. So we are going to be discussing something called deep vein thrombosis. And that is that's a mouthful. So remember earlier on this week, we talked about peripheral arterial disease. Mm-hmm. And this is a disease that affects the arteries. Now, deep vein thrombosis is, as it says, it affects the deep veins, and this is usually in the legs. Now, this is a condition where a blood clot will form in the deep veins of the legs, and it usually develops when your blood flow, it slows down, it changes due to prolonged immobility, vein damage, or even conditions that make the blood more likely to clot. And these clots can be partial or complete, and they can actually block the flow in the vein itself. So yes, it is a very interesting topic. I know a lot of women, especially when I start to talk about the symptoms, they will be intrigued. They will want to know what their risk factors are, etc. So it is a topic that I thought was very important for us to discuss today. And while we are discussing Women's Wednesday and this particular topic, of course, we encourage the listeners to call in, even send your WhatsApps, and we are here to answer all of your questions, any of them. I mean, I even saw somebody sent a picture yesterday. So, we can have a conversation. We answer all the questions, even though we are looking at a specific topic.
All right, okay. Of course, your numbers to message us today at 3061065 on the Freedom WhatsApp, and feel free to message Sangeet's WhatsApp or 99.5, Sky 99.5, and they will send your messages right to us here in studio with your questions. All right, so what exactly is deep vein thrombosis and how does it develop?
Right, so as I said before, it is a condition where one develops a blood clot in the deep veins and it's usually seen in the legs. Now, the way that it develops, somebody has to be immobile or not moving for a prolonged period of time, and sometimes even when the veins in the legs are damaged, this can predispose somebody to developing these clots. And of course, if somebody also has a condition that actually slows down or makes the blood more likely to clot, this will also develop into a deep vein thrombosis. And of course, these clots can be partial or complete, and it can block the blood flow in the vein itself. So, you know, we always talk about clots when it comes to the heart and a heart attack, or the brain and a stroke, and even as we saw in peripheral arterial disease, where it can lead to something like critical limb ischemia. Now, deep vein thrombosis itself comes with its own host of complications, and therefore, it is something that we definitely need to know about. We definitely need to know the symptoms, because when we get to the risk factors and the things that can actually cause it, people are going to be very surprised, especially young women and older women as well. So it really is something I thought very important to discuss on today's show.
All right, some people may have it and don't even know.
Exactly.
All right, so why is DTV considered a serious condition, especially for women?
Right, so this is where we get into one of the main complications, or one of the most serious fatal complications of a DVT. And of course, we'll be saying deep vein thrombosis, but it's DVT for short. Now, what can happen is that if this clot in the leg breaks or it gets loose, it can actually travel all the way up to your lungs, and it can cause what we call a pulmonary embolism. And a pulmonary embolism is potentially actually very life-threatening. This is one of the causes of sudden death, and we see it a lot in young women taking oral contraceptive pills. So for women, things like pregnancy, hormonal contraceptives, as well as hormone replacement therapy actually increases their risk of deep vein thrombosis. And this is why it is such a critical concern, especially when we're talking about women, because we're seeing that the risk factors here are very unique. I'm not saying that a man cannot get a deep vein thrombosis, but we are going through all these hormonal changes, and women, of course, young women are more likely to be taking oral contraceptive pills, and they don't even know the risks. Yes, we may tell them you can develop clots, you need to look out for this, etc. But we do see cases where women come into the hospital, their legs were cramping, and they get shortness of breath, or they're vomiting blood, etc. And this is because they were taking this oral contraceptive pill, and they were in periods where they were immobile for long periods of time, and the clot develops in the leg and travels, breaks and travels all the way up to the lungs. And it sounds very scary, and I don't want the listeners to be scared. I just want them to be more informed or more aware of these things happening when you take certain medications.
Right. What about that contraceptive where it's like the implant?
The implant itself, remember there are different types of hormonal contraceptives. We have progesterone pills, we have estrogen pills. What we found is that the estrogen pills are more likely to cause these clots in the legs. I'm not saying that the other pills cannot do it, but we definitely see it with the estrogen pill. The implant within the hand itself, of course, it depends on the hormone that is being released. So if estrogen alone is being released, you do have a higher chance. But of course, the research still has to be done, and there still needs to be a lot more evidence for us to say definitely this implant will cause that, because again, there are different brands of implant. But what we do know definitely with the estrogen contraceptive pill, there is an increased risk of developing blood clots in the legs.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, so of course, it could go over some you mentioned already, but the unique risk factors for DVT in women.
Right. So, of course, women, we have very unique anatomy. And what tends to happen is that what distinguishes us from men is our hormones and the way that our hormones develop over time. We go through menstruation, then pregnancy, premenopause, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. All these things come into play because of the way that our hormones move. Now, many unique risk factors, I would say, is attributed to these hormonal changes. But we also have those hormonal changes during pregnancy and the hormonal changes that come when we take the birth control pills, because remember, that is putting hormones into your body as well. And postmenopause, if somebody has to be on hormone replacement therapy, or even if they have undergone chemotherapy and need to do hormone replacement therapy post breast cancer, etc. Now, additionally, what the research shows is that women who have a history of miscarriage or a family history of clotting disorders also are at a higher risk of developing these clots in the leg. And prolonged immobility, it is definitely one of those things that I would say is very important when we are considering deep vein thrombosis, because prolonged immobility can occur both in men and women. I mean, men can sit down for very long periods of time, and we do see this in bus drivers, in taxi drivers, etc. If they're sitting down for long periods of time and they start to get this calf pain, and then especially if it is superimposed on other risk factors that they have as well, smoking, any other risk factors for heart attack, strokes, or developing clots. And prolonged immobility, especially during long flights, car rides, will also increase the risk. So that is one that we can share with men. But of course, the unique hormones, the hormonal changes, the birth control pills, etc., we would definitely see that more in women. And we definitely do see an increase or an increased prevalence in women versus men when it comes to things like deep vein thromboses.
All right, so what are some of the symptoms that women should look out for?
Right. So this is very, very important, because I have seen girls that are very young developing these symptoms and they don't even know that this is the case. So the common symptoms I want to see that you should look out for are things like swelling in one leg compared to the other. So yes, you can get deep vein thrombosis in both legs, but you usually get it in one leg. The most common thing is that you would see one of your calves swelling a lot more than the other. Pain or tenderness in that calf, especially when the person is standing or walking. Warmth in the affected area. If there's any color changes on the skin, if the skin is turning reddish or bluish, and as well if there are any visible surface veins. So all these things together, I definitely think that you need to go and get it checked out, because this can be something serious like a deep vein thrombosis. Now, deep vein thromboses, they can occur sometimes without noticeable symptoms, but you usually do notice the symptoms, and this is what prompts you to come to the hospital. But this is also why awareness becomes very crucial, especially in young women who are taking the pill, if somebody is pregnant, if they are on hormonal replacement therapy. These are things that they need to look out for. So awareness becomes very important in this aspect, because some people may think, oh, maybe I just hit my leg on the table, versus, you know, I didn't take into consideration I'm taking a pill, and this can be a one of the consequences of taking that pill. I'm not saying that you need to not take the pill. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to avoid these certain risk factors. But what I am saying is that you need to be aware of the consequences, and you also need to be able to identify these complications, so that when it does occur, you know, one time, I need to go to the doctor, I need to go and get this checked out, because I know the complications can be fatal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, folks. All right, we need to take a short break, and we will be right back at you with Dr. Brittany Dean today, the lunchtime doctor. Remember, LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for organization, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hands-washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com or social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. We shall return.
Chiclisho Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags, leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder, and greaseproof paper, ideal for doubles, french fries, and sandwiches. Supplying stores nationwide. For quality products, trust Chiclisho Limited, 665-3336. Chiclisho Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags, leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder, and greaseproof paper, ideal for doubles, french fries, and sandwiches. Supplying stores nationwide. For quality products, trust Chiclisho Limited, 665-3336.
Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts. All to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sozano Street, Arima.
All right, folks, we return to the lunchtime doctor. Remember, today, Wednesday, the 5th of June from 10 a.m. We started at 10 a.m. at India Faces Ireland for the glory, then Australia versus Oman at 8:30 p.m. Enjoy all the unforgettable moments of the ICC T20 World Cup cricket with Freedom 106.5 FM and experience the drama, the tension, and the sheer joy of cricket in its purest form. Live coverage complements Chiclisho Limited. We return as we talk DVT.
Right. So we are here today talking about deep vein thrombosis. And of course, Dr. Mike actually heard us talking about this and he wanted to join in on the conversation. So everybody's loving Women Wednesday now, Base.
Everybody. Yes. All the men are coming
in. Yes, all the men are coming in for Women Wednesdays. They're trying to crash this party. But but that's okay. He has great insight into this topic, especially when it comes to women as well. So we were talking about the causes of deep vein thrombosis. So do you want to jump in and tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Conversation is of so much importance is because, as many of you would have known, the COVID virus has actually resulted in an increase in DVTs as well as pulmonary emboli as well too.
Oh my, we will probably get a lot of calls continuing.
No, but it's the truth, right? So in hospital, in terms of management of patients with COVID, the protocol actually included anticoagulation for prophylaxis. So what that means is we would have given them blood thinners to prevent a DVT. You understand?
Yes.
Because we have found that the risk of DVTs has increased due to the presence of COVID.
But let me ask this as well.
Yeah.
Was the risk because of COVID, was it more prevalent in women versus men, or was it the same?
That's an excellent question. In terms of peer review studies, we don't really have any objective data to say that that is the case. However, what I did see was that there was an overall increase in DVTs, meaning we also saw a lot of men come in with DVTs as well too. But overall, I think the ratio in terms of women outweighing men in terms of numbers, I think that remained the same, but we had an overall increase, right, especially in the pulmonary embolies as well too.
Yes, and I think a lot of it as well during the COVID pandemic would have also been the hormonal factors playing a role in combination with COVID or with any vaccinations, etc. And of course, women, we do see DVTs on a daily basis, I would say. We do see DVTs at the hospital on a daily basis. And because of all these risk factors that I listed, but you were also telling me something else, which I thought was very interesting and the listeners should know about.
Yeah, so essentially, you know, in medicine, we have something called the Virchow's Triad. So we look at different things that could predict the risk for having a DVT. And essentially, we look at stasis, as you mentioned, which would be immobility,
yes.
Right? And that also includes stasis in the vein itself, which can be from an obstruction. And this refers to any sort of intra-abdominal mass, so any mass in the belly that is actually compressing the deep veins.
Yes.
And that could even be the womb. Yeah?
Yeah, so definitely in women, we will see, for example, things like fibroids, those things can cause. And I mean, I would not say that it's high up on the list of risk factors, but it is definitely something you need to look out for and something that is unique to women. Because on the womb, we can have cysts, we can have fibroids, we can have even ovarian cancers.
And you know that, you know, even the ovarian masses can get extremely big.
Yes. So, of course, it is something that, like I said, very important to discuss in women. Because we don't, when we talk about a lot of our reproductive issues, we tend not to go past the womb area or our reproductive organs. But we're seeing that it can have a detrimental effect all the way down to our legs. And then we're seeing that something in the legs can have a detrimental effect on our lungs itself.
Yeah.
And just recently, we unfortunately saw somebody pass away suddenly from a pulmonary embolism. And she was taking oral contraceptives. And I mean, I would like to think that, you know, if the education was out there, if the awareness was out there, that maybe she would have picked up on the calf pains, or she would have picked up on the changes in her leg, etc. But of course, this is why these conversations are so important, to bring awareness to issues like this.
What about smoking? Does smoking have anything?
So smoking can result in what we call endothelial injury, which is damage to the vessels. So there is a role to play in terms of smoking, which can contribute, but smoking primarily affects the arteries more than the veins.
So we definitely do have differences when we're talking about arteries versus veins. And let me just clarify that for the listeners. Arteries carry the oxygenated blood to all the tissues in your body. So this is the good blood that your body needs to function. All the nutrients, all these things are seen in the arteries. The vein carries the deoxygenated blood. So when your tissue uses up all this oxygen, the vein carries this back to the lungs so that it can become oxygenated again. So this is how your circulatory system goes. You have your arteries carrying all this good oxygenated blood, all these nutrients to all the tissues in your body. And then when the tissues say, well, I'm done, I've eaten all I could take, or when the organs say, I've taken all the nutrients I could take, and they basically take this waste deoxygenated blood through the veins to the lungs to be circulated again and again. So it's basically like a circle. So
continue with our questions here. So are there any specific signs that differentiate DVT from other conditions with similar symptoms?
Right. So what I would say is this. Remember, we said that a deep vein thrombosis will be or can occur in one leg at a time. So other conditions can cause leg pain, can cause leg swelling, but the DVT often presents with a combination of all these symptoms that is localized to one leg. So yes, you can get bilateral DVTs, but it is very rare. You would more commonly see it in one leg versus the other. You would see symptoms in one leg and you're like, why is this leg looking bigger than this one? Why is this leg hurting compared to this one? Why is it more tender? Now, the pain with a deep vein thrombosis, especially when you're seeing it in one leg, it usually worsens when you're standing up, when you're walking, and improves with rest and elevation. But what I would say is that a definite diagnosis will require imaging and medical evaluation. Because remember, we talked about when we were discussing peripheral arterial disease, yes, that gets worse with walking. We get intermittent claudication and people need to sit down and rest to get any type of relief. And we see that with deep vein thromboses as well. And in peripheral arterial disease, it can affect both of the legs, but in a deep vein thrombosis, you'll see it in one. But again, to make that proper distinction, you definitely need a proper evaluation as well as diagnostic imaging. And we'll get to that later on in the conversation as well.
Of course, folks, we're talking DVT right here on the Lunchtime Doctor. You're listening. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, and Sky 99.5. And how, well, of course, pregnancy and postpartum periods increase the risk of DVT in women?
Right. So, of course, we know during pregnancy, our hormones, They go haywire. They do a lot of different things. So what happens is that we have an increase in the level of certain hormones, things like estrogen and progesterone. And these actually make our blood more prone to clotting during this time. And this is why it is important for women who are pregnant to be ambulatory, to make sure that they are walking up and down, to make sure they're getting some sort of exercise in. And the growing uterus, like we said, you know, any increase in the intra-abdominal area can press on the veins itself. So the uterus itself is growing because a baby is growing inside of you, and this can push the veins, or they can actually put pressure on the veins in both the pelvis and the legs, and this will slow blood flow. And of course, when we know blood flow is being slowed, becoming static, then this gives way to blood clots actually being formed. After childbirth, I would say the risk still persists, And of course, the changes in the hormonal levels will be there, but it will take a little bit of time to go back to normal. And of course, during recovery, we do have reduced mobility. You know, women like to sit down, they like to lie down in bed, because I mean, going through childbirth is really such a painful and tiring experience. So the mobility is reduced. You still have that increased level of your estrogen and progesterone for a short amount of time. So even in that short space of time, DVTs can still develop.
Yeah, you know, we actually see that up to 6 weeks after pregnancy, the risk is still extremely high.
Yes.
You know, the point where you deliver from delivery and 6 weeks after, the risk of these DVTs and even PE is extremely high.
Yes. And of course, PEs become very important when we're discussing deep vein thrombosis as well. And it is one of the many complications. I would say the complications come with the symptoms as well, in terms of severe leg pain and redness, changes in skin discoloration, all these different things. But PEs is actually one of those things we definitely look out for. And PE, of course, stands for pulmonary embolism. And could you expound a little bit on what a pulmonary embolism is for some of our listeners?
Right. So as Dr. Dean mentioned, we have the clot forming in the deep vein, which could be in the leg and even rarely in the upper limb, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this clot can dislodge or travel up to the pulmonary veins, which are the veins in the lung.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a small piece can go off, or a very big piece can go off. And if a large piece goes off and it is lodged in the pulmonary trunk, this can actually be fatal, because it now obstructs the passage of blood back to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can actually die from heart failure.
And when we're speaking pulmonary, we're talking about the lungs. And what you see with people who are experiencing pulmonary embolism, they have shortness of breath. They actually start to cough up blood. They have palpitations, all these different things. And this is a very fatal condition, and people can die in a matter of seconds from this. Mm-hmm.
But what about this? The difference between this and diabetes, because does it look the same? Because there may people have the blood clots or these spots on the skin, and it sounds like, you know, or you could tell the difference.
In terms of the feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So generally speaking, in terms of diabetes, you would have the effects manifesting on both legs or both feet, right? Unless it was like a puncture wound, which would be at the bottom of the foot, and that will give evidence of infection, so it would be very red. It may or may not be painful, but you will get the foul odor, etc. The DVT, as Dr. Dean said, the leg will be swollen, one leg, and it could be from the ankle up until the knee. It could be the calf only, and it could even extend up to the hip, depending on how bad it is. We've seen some massive legs, and you know why? Because patients tend to ignore these things. You know, 5 days your leg is swelling, you haven't gone anywhere yet, until you maybe become immobile, and now you present to the hospital, and then, you know, we have to scramble to try to save the leg.
Right, and this is why it's important to know your symptoms very early on. And I'm not saying that every little thing you go to your doctor for, but if you know that you have certain risk factors, if you know that you fall into a certain category, it is very imperative that you look out for these certain symptoms that we're talking about, whatever context it is, heart attacks, DVTs, anything. So if you are a female, a young female who is on the oral contraceptive pill, if you are immobile for long periods of time and you've noticed that you're getting quite a bit of calf pain, you're getting discoloration in the leg, one calf is swelling more than the other, this is not something that you take lightly. This is the point where you need to go to your doctor and say, this has been happening. I've been taking this oral contraceptive pill, and I would like to know if these are the ramifications of that. And of course, your doctor will evaluate you properly. And there are diagnostic images that we do. We do something called a Doppler ultrasound to actually visualize the clot in the leg itself. And we see that stasis of the blood, especially, well, once you have a clot there, we see that stasis of the blood, we see the clot, and we can diagnose. And then there are blood tests that are done as well. We do things like a D-dimer to see what the rate is, to see what your clotting rate is like as well. So it really is something that you do not take lightly, especially if you have the risk factors. Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, some more questions coming up here as we talk DVT. And in terms of long periods and immobility and sedentary work, can this contribute to the development of DVT?
Definitely. You know, so any sort of prolonged sitting or prolonged standing actually increases this risk, whether it be you are driving, whether it be you are standing, you know, on the ward whole day, all these different things can actually increase your risk. So I always say that every 2 hours, you should try to do probably a few tiptoes because there's something in the leg called a pump with the calf. And this pump actually sends blood back to the heart by sort of a reverse vacuum or suctioning mechanism. So if you can tiptoe every 2 hours, maybe 20 times, this will definitely get the blood circulating. For example, if you're on a flight, a long-haul flight, you know, anything from 4 to 6 hours has been associated with the formation of a clot. So it definitely, you don't want to sleep for the whole flight. You need to do some tiptoes, walk around.
I'm always walking around on a flight, but I hate to be on a flight. It could be the shortest flight. I'm always, you know, I have to get up.
That's good.
So maybe just like they say with the eyes, you know, we look away, like look away every 20 minutes, 20 seconds. Maybe every 20 minutes, like a tiptoe 20 times. Also, how can women reduce their risk of developing DVT? Well, that we just mentioned that when traveling long distances. And what are some of the potential complications of DVT if not treated promptly and properly?
Right. So, of course, if not treated properly or promptly, the severe complication we discussed is a pulmonary embolism. And this, it's most fatal because it can cause a sudden death. Long-term complications would include things like a post-traumatic thrombotic syndrome. And what can happen here is that the person can develop chronic pain, swelling, as well as ulcers that are affecting the leg. So DVTs are actually just one small part of venous disease that affect the leg. So this is a whole topic by itself. DVT can go on for quite a long time. There's so many things that can be discussed when we're talking about deep vein thrombosis. But we're putting it in the context of women right now. And the most important things would be, of course, the pills and the hormones and pregnancy and all these things that affect women.
All right, we take a short break and we come back with more as we continue our discussion on DVT.
Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts. All to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima.
Chiclisha Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags, leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder, and greaseproof paper, ideal for doubles, french fries, and sandwiches, supplying stores nationwide. website. For quality products, trust Shiklisha Limited, 665-3336. Shiklisha Limited, the Caribbean's largest manufacturers of plain and printed paper bags. Leaders in plastic bags, vermicelli, split piece powder, and greaseproof paper. Ideal for doubles, french fries, and sandwiches. Supplying stores nationwide. For quality products, trust Shiklisha Limited, 665-3336.
Of course, thank you to our sponsors, LSA Healthcare Services Limited, a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years of experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about the hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand-washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner, Hygiene Solutions. Also, people, remember, we're listening to the cricket. India faced Ireland, and now for the glory, Australia versus Oman at 8:30 p.m. later on this evening. Enjoy all the unforgettable moments of the ICC T20 World Cup cricket with Freedom 106.5 FM and experience the drama, the tension, and the sheer joy of cricket in its purest form. Live coverage complements Shiklisha Limited. Hi to all friends who are listening also on Sky 99.5 and Sangeet 106.1 as we continue to talk deep vein thrombosis. And today is Women Wednesdays, my favorite day of the week. Right? So we continue. How important is lifestyle modification in the prevention and management of DVT?
So this becomes a very crucial factor when we're talking about the management as well as the prevention. Now, things like regular physical activity, and the physical activity does not change across diseases. The same physical activity will give you the same benefits. And of course, you know, once you add on your strength training, your resistance training, you get added benefits as well. So that 120 minutes of aerobic exercise, things like walking, cycling, anything to get the blood flowing and the blood pumping, especially in the legs, that is going to be something that is very protective, especially when you do have these risk factors. Now, maintaining a healthy weight also comes into play, because obesity is also one of those risk factors that we look at in patients with deep vein thrombosis. Because remember, as we said, anything that compresses the veins or anything that can cause any type of strenuous effects on the legs, this can lead to deep vein thrombosis. So any excess weight or an accumulation of weight can cause this compression of the veins as well. Avoiding prolonged immobility, and Dr. Taylor gave us a good bit of tips when we're talking about that. So 20 minutes, every 20 minutes, you do 20 tiptoes. If you're on a long flight, try to actually get up, take a walk about, do a bit of tiptoes as well. Quitting smoking is also key in when we're talking about preventative measures, because smoking itself causes epithelial damage. And of course, as we're getting into the pathology of things, it does play an important role as well.
What about comfortable shoes? Like for women, like since we're talking women, can women with this thing wear high heels all the time?
If you are diagnosed with a deep vein thrombosis, I do not suggest that you go and you wear high heels. I definitely suggest that you get comfortable shoes. You still do need to practice your tiptoes, however, but you don't want to put any other stressor on the leg that is affected, because this can do more harm than good. I don't think there's any evidence to show that wearing high heels contributes to the development of a deep vein thrombosis, but I'm sure that in combination with other risk factors, any sort of stressor on the leg can put you at risk for developing one. So even those women who have a history of DVT, adhering to medications that are prescribed, so the anticoagulants that is prescribed to you, adhering to it becomes very, very crucial, as well as wearing compression stockings. These things can manage and prevent any sort of reoccurrence when we're talking about DVTs.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other treatments available for DVT?
So what we would say in terms of recent advancements in DVTs, we do have particular drugs on the market, and they are easier to administer and there are less dietary restrictions compared to the traditional anticoagulants. Of course, I can't name them on air, but they have things like catheter-directed thrombolysis, all these different things that, I mean, patients may not understand, but when we get into the hospital, it becomes very crucial and very important for us to know, in terms of your medical history, which sort of treatment will be best tailored to you. So there are advancements in terms of therapy for deep vein thrombosis, but that does not mean that you should not prevent it. Prevention is always better than cure.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about like water therapy? Anything? Any
water therapy? Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, we don't have any evidence to say that water therapy. Definitely, I would say you want to keep hydrated, right? Mm-hmm. Because
like exercising in the water, sort of.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Water aerobics. Yeah.
All right. So, and what about our recent advancements and new treatments for DVT that women should be aware of?
So, like I said, the recent advancements would be the newer drugs that we have on the market, the new advancements in the way that we break up clots or we dissolve clots. And, of course, this is dependent on your medical history as well. So, there are things that work very well. But then there are things that we will have to administer to you because you will not be able to undergo a certain type of treatment. So it is also important for you to take care of yourself holistically so that in the unfortunate event that something like this happens, especially if you are healthy and then you started to take this oral contraceptive pill and this happens and you are healthy before, then we can do these advancing treatments for you and we can get a better outcome for you in the long run. So yes, there are advancing treatments, and of course these are things that we usually see behind the scenes in the hospital, but this is where your role comes in, taking care of yourself holistically so that in that unfortunate event you would be able to get the best treatment possible.
Yeah, and you know what I would say is that as patients, we have to make sure that you take the medication that has been prescribed.
Right.
Because any specific scenario of a DVT mm-hmm. or a PE, these are potentially fatal issues. And most likely, you are prescribed a blood thinner, which is slightly stronger than the regular aspirin.
Yes.
Right? And there are different types. There are some that you need monitoring of blood levels, and then there are others that you don't. And the major side effect is bleeding. Mm-hmm. So patients are always concerned that, okay, we might bleed. Now the doctor will take this into account. And if he finds that the risk of your bleeding is much higher than you dying from the clot, then you will not be given that medication,
right,
or you may be given a lower dose. And then the other thing is there are certain conditions where the doctor will actually give you what we call preventative blood thinners to prevent you from getting mm-hmm. the DVT if you have certain issues.
Mm-hmm. What about family support? How can family support their loved ones with DVT?
So DVT is a very complex situation, and especially, for example, depending on the context of how it is, how it manifests. Now, for patients who are bedbound or bedridden, especially like elderly patients or stroke victim patients, these patients require extensive family support and social support to help them through their activities of daily living. So they may need physiotherapy to move them around. You know, the family may need to feed them. This becomes very burdensome on the family and on the patient too. So we generally don't want it to get to that point. So as Dr. Dean said, prevention is always better, you know, than cure.
So DVT cure, well, it can lead to an amputation.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not extremely common, but if left untreated, it can reach a point where the veins block the arteries because of how massive the clot is. And now the only way to survive is to remove that limb because it, maybe it has become gangrenous.
So this is not what you call gangrene? It's not
right. So it can lead to gangrene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if left untreated for long enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what advice would you give to women who are concerned about their risk of DVT, and what steps can they take to protect themselves?
So, of course, first and foremost, you need to be educated on the topic. You need to be aware of the risk factors, the symptoms, the complications. And, of course, if you are worried about having a DVT, it is always very important for you to consult with your doctor to assess your risk factors, especially if you have a family history of blood clots, especially if you're using the hormonal contraceptive pill or if you are on any hormonal replacement therapies. Preventative steps, I would definitely say, is keeping active. Remember, we said, you know, keeping active not just prevents these blood clots, but also helps your circulatory system in terms of your heart and in other areas as well. So it's very holistic. Just doing this 120 minutes per week of walking or running. And if you can't reach 120 minutes, do whatever you can. Anything to get yourself off of the couch, anything to get yourself outdoors, doing anything that you can. Maintaining a healthy weight, like we said, obesity does play a role in this. Avoiding smoking or quitting smoking, especially if you are a smoker. Yes, we don't see it high on the list of risk factors, but it is there and it is something that will accelerate other risk factors as well. Staying hydrated, as Dr. Mike said, and of course, following your medical advice that was given by your physician, because we don't just tell you these things as, you know, a guide. It is for you to actually follow, for you to take this protocol so that you can get better, so that you can actually reap the benefits of this. So using your compression stockings regularly or the anticoagulation therapy that is prescribed to you. And of course, during long travels, you want to be moving regularly. And of course, exercise is essential. So even doing these little bit of tiptoes as well will be beneficial to you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. What about people who live in a temperate climate? Can the climate, you know, help affect your DVT?
This is a very interesting question. There's no evidence to say that certain climates will put you at a higher risk. But if we go down to the pathology of things, I think in colder climates, you may have a little bit of a higher risk of developing it because of the stasis of blood. Maybe. But there's no evidence to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Theoretically, you know, when you have cold temperatures, you have something called vasoconstriction. So the vessels become smaller. The question is, does it translate into practical terms? We don't really have all that much data to support. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Good question. What about if somebody has DVT and arthritis?
Wow. So that is a very interesting question. And yes, the two can exist at the same time. So arthritis affects the joints and you will experience a lot of joint pains depending on which bones and joints are affected with the arthritis. And the deep vein thrombosis, you will get the normal symptoms that is experienced, which is the leg swelling, the pain, the calf swelling, the tenderness, all of these things you will experience. So you definitely can differentiate between the two conditions because one will be in the joints and one will more than likely be in one of your calves.
Mm-hmm. All right, definitely, folks. So we do have about 6 more minutes to go as we discuss in our DVT here today. We will open for any other questions. You feel free to message at 306 1065. You can message Sangeet, you can message Sky, and they will send your messages right to us in studio.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, again, we want to make sure that everyone realizes the seriousness and the potential ease of prevention of a DVT, right? If you have identified risk factors, which we mentioned probably 20 times by now, you should be accustomed to hearing these things now, right? You should be able to understand, hey, if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll probably be able to prevent a DVT. But okay, you have a DVT now, what's the next step? If you have symptoms of this, please go to the doctor. There's a simple blood test. The D-dimer test can tell us if you are clotting abnormally high or not. And if the doctor is still suspicious, you will have a Doppler ultrasound scan done, which can virtually diagnose the presence of the DVT. Moving forward, if you are confirmed to have a DVT, you are now placed on treatment once your blood count is acceptable, once you have no increased risk of bleeding, right? And there are many different types. All are free, right? We only have probably one of the other newer types that are not serviced in terms of the hospitals, right? But we have at least 3 to 4 that are available by prescription in the public setting. And the other thing is, you have to take the medication as prescribed. Usually, if it's a first time, you are prescribed the medication for approximately 6 months, right? Depending on if it's small or not. And then if you have a recurrent clot, meaning you have risk factors that you cannot change, you'll probably be on it for lifelong, right? But that will also be a discussion with the hematologist as well to say, okay, maybe on it for 4 years, we could stop you now, etc. Maybe the risk has decreased, you know? And these are the major things that one needs to know, because I've seen it too many times. Patients been prescribed the medication, took it for 2 weeks. We see them a month later and they end up dying because they did not complete the therapy. And we don't want this to be you.
Especially when you have such a fetal complication attached with a disease like this. And of course, just to reiterate, pulmonary embolism is not something, and it doesn't have to only be caused by DVTs. I mean, this is a whole topic by itself. This has its own risk factors, and DVT is just one of them. And of course, this is the risk factor where this complication becomes very severe and leads to sudden death. But of course, a history of cancer, obesity, all these things actually lead to pulmonary embolism without a DVT as well. So it is another topic. Maybe we can discuss this next week. That is a whole topic by itself. And of course, DVT is just one of the venous diseases. I mean, we have varicose veins, we have spider veins, we have even though those things are not as serious and it's more for cosmetic purposes. You know, venous disease by itself is a very broad topic, and it's definitely something that I think we need to discuss because I have gotten a lot of questions about varicose veins and how it's painful, and that is actually a risk factor. It puts women at a higher risk of developing DVTs as well.
Especially when you have the incompetent veins or the valves in the veins don't work. Sometimes you see a doctor trying to put in an IV and you say you have a lot of valves. So the valves are what prevent the backflow of blood back to the feet. So once the valves are not working well, then blood pools in the feet and you get that swelling.
All right, folks, well, that's it. We wrap up our lunchtime doctor for today. 1 minute away. So we're just for your final closing words until we see you guys next week.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope that you take into consideration this specific topic because it is very important. And of course, we encourage you to live a healthy life, eat well, exercise, stay hydrated, and of course, your mental health is just as important as your physical health.
Right, thank you very much, Dr. Mm-hmm. Brittany Dean and Dr. Taylor. Remember, folks, LSA Healthcare Services Limited, a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about the hygiene solutions for all spaces. So check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitization dispensers, janitorial cleaning and fogging sanitization. Contact them at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. Until next week, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.